This meeting of the House Resources Committee will now come to order. It is now 1:08 p.m. Wednesday, March 11th, 2026, here in Juneau in Capitol Room 124. Members present are Representative Hall, Representative Mears, Representative Prox, Co-Chair Representative Freer, and myself, Co-Chair Representative Dibert. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Thank you. I would also like to thank Cecilia Miller from Records and Renzo Moises from the Juneau LIO for keeping our committee room going today. Thank you so much. Today in House Resources, we have only one item on the calendar, and it is to hold the first hearing on House Bill 276 by House Rules. By request of the Governor, we have Director Collis and Jim Walker of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water here with us to present the bill. Would you please come forward, take a seat, and put your name on the record and begin your presentation. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, committee members, Co-Chair Dibert, Co-Chair Freer. I appreciate you having us here today. We're excited to talk to you about House Bill 276. I have my colleague here, Jim Walker. He's going to run us through a lot of the slides. We know you guys are a little short on time, so we'll be brief, but always willing to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Through the chair, Jim Walker from the Alaska Department of Natural Resources. As Director Collis said, we will make a quick overview of the bill in its entirety. Like a lot of DNR legislation, particularly lands legislation, there are a lot of different aspects to this bill. And I'd like to sort of go through those in groups. But the three main purposes of this legislation are, one, to modernize state land lease and sale processes. I would describe that as more housekeeping legislation for the DNR and DMLW so that we can go about our business more efficiently in the public's best interest, to stimulate economic development through commercial parks, and lastly, to repeal some outdated land boundaries and obligations. Specifically with regards to what I'm calling the housekeeping provisions, let me give you a highlight of several of those. One, we are attempting to modernize and bring into conformity with industry standards certain provisions in our land sales legislation. For instance, we all know that within the private sector, 30 years is a standard number for contracts, mortgages, things of that nature. Under the law, as it presently stands, citizens who buy land from the Department of Natural Resources have 20 years, if they enter into a contract with the state, 20 years to pay off that land purchase. This bill extends that period from 20 years to 30 years, so that the folks have a little bit more time to pay. They can always prepay if they wish or pay it off more promptly, but it gives them more time and potentially a smaller payment so that they can secure land from the Department of Natural Resources. We also have other provisions. For example, for any type of lease within the state of Alaska from state lands that is over 10 years, there is a mandatory requirement for survey, cadastral survey, to be performed. This is a very expensive process for many folks, and quite frankly, something that is not necessarily a good idea or something that is beneficial in some cases. For example, Director Collis often talks about a contact we had from a peony farmer who was going to, in order to lease certain land from the state, have to pay $40,000 to have a cadastral survey done. And in that situation where we're not dealing with a lot of infrastructure, you're talking about growing plants and things of that nature, requiring a survey in that situation seems a bit onerous and unfair. Under this bill, it would be up to the commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources to use their discretion for leases of when and when not to require cadastral survey. So if it is something that involves infrastructure, particularly in areas where there are other lands that are owned privately and whatnot, of course, for that leasehold, there would still be the survey requirement. But for areas that are more open land and we're not dealing with infrastructure, the commissioner would have the ability to forego that survey requirement. Please understand, though, that if the leased property goes to sale of land, before the sale could be accomplished, there would be a survey. There are other similar types of housekeeping provisions that are contained within the bill. Moving on, I'd next like to discuss, if it please the chair, the administrative burdens that would be lifted by this bill. And there are three that I would like to address. The first two are on the slide in front of you, and they deal with the Kenai National Moose Range as well as the Kodiak National Wildlife Refuge. The situation is this, that when these national refuges were created, the state of Alaska, the state legislature, put over the top co-located state game refuges, right? One on top of each other with the same boundaries. This was done, I believe, to assure that the state would have a say in how these lands would be managed. Over time, the footprint, particularly as you can see on the slide on the left-hand side of the Kenai Refuge, the federal footprint has contracted, but the state game refuge boundaries have not changed. And what this bill proposes to do is to remove that state game refuge so that those lands on the fringe, the area between the old boundary of the state game refuge and the federal refuge, those would just become general state lands. I believe that this is a proposal that is contained within this legislation that is supported not only by the Department of Natural Resources, but also by the Department of Fish and Game. We have, if you would like to ask, representatives from Fish and Game on this call today. But I think that that conforms with my understanding of their position. So if we could go to the next slide, thank you. So what we're seeing here is in microcosm what we saw in macro on the previous slide. We're looking at a snapshot of a portion of the Kenai Moose Range. And on the screen in front of you, you will see a yellow line. That is the boundary for the National Refuge. If you look at the blue line, that is the boundary as it was set when the legislation was enacted here in Alaska for the State Game Refuge. If this bill were to pass, that land in between those two lines would no longer be a State Game Refuge, but would be general state lands. And that is significant because in this case, you'll see in red a subdivision that has been planned by the state of Alaska and that is going through the process to move forward that would be facilitated by this. Again, the only impact of this would be that these lands would be general state lands and not subject to an additional state game refuge. The situation is the same on Kodiak, although we are dealing with a far smaller amount of land on Kodiak. And you'll see in the slide before you, the yellow is where the Kodiak State Refuge boundaries were drawn. The blue is the National Refuge. Or do I have that backwards? I've got that backwards. My apologies. The yellow is the Kodiak National Wildlife Refuge boundary. The blue is the legislatively designated boundary for the state refuge. What we are seeking to do is conform that those boundaries are not more extensive than the federal boundary, and so that that would free up the area, for example, in red, that could be treated as general state lands subject to subdivision or other beneficial state use. Another provision of this bill deals with a situation involving business park wetlands in Anchorage. This is an area in Midtown Anchorage, and in the 1980s and 1990s, a group called the Business Park Wetlands Coalition solicited funds from the Alaska legislature and also raised some funds privately. From that, they purchased land that was owned by the municipality, and they conveyed that to the state, and the state legislature created a designation for this property, these 3 acres of land, that they could only be used as wetlands and as wildlife sanctuary. Shortly after the passage of the legislation in 1992, I believe it was in 1995, the Business Park Wetlands Coalition went defunct, and there was no successor in interest. It was all along intended that the Business Park Wetlands Coalition would maintain this property. Hence, from that time moving forward, there was no party that was going to be responsible for management of this, and this land was burdened by this special legislative designation. Fast forward to today. Over the years, there has been extensive development around the Business Park Wetlands site. Although it is still legally classified as wetlands, its wetlands character is much less. The area has been built up around it in a donut of fill, and this is truly not what most of us would consider wetlands. On top of that, because the lands cannot be used for any purpose other than as wetlands and wildlife sanctuary, it has become a very large homeless encampment within Anchorage. Every year, the Division of Mining, Land, and Water is forced to incur considerable sums to clean this up and remove a lot of the debris, the drug paraphernalia, and things of that nature. We've spent $80,000 already in cleaning this area up, and the forecast for the next 5 years is an additional $105,000 just to keep abreast with the trash, the drug paraphernalia, and the other problems. What this bill does is it removes that legislative designation from the property. Our division is in communications and working with the municipality of Anchorage. The idea and goal is to possibly work out a land conveyance from the state to the municipality of Anchorage so that they can use this property for some other beneficial purpose. For example, they have extensive non-motorized transportation plans. This area could be an important linkage in that transportation plan. Alternatively, I know that the municipality is also interested and excited about the possibility of using this for some other beneficial purpose. We sadly can't use this land because of the legislative designation for any purpose. If we take the first step with this bill and remove the legislative designation, we could move forward with the process to have a better usage of it than in the dangerous homeless encampment that it has become.
Yeah, thank you so much for your presentation so far. We have a question on this slide, I believe, from Representative Hall.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Through the Co-Chair, I'm curious, are you suggesting that there's a homeless camp there now, or it has been cleaned up? I wasn't entirely sure based on your comments.
Mr. Walker.
Through the Chair, Representative Hall, there is presently a homeless encampment there. It gets cleaned up and it returns. It is a problem that is constantly recurring. This area is well known to the municipality and is also an ongoing burden every year for the Division of Mining Land and Water, just keeping a pace with the trash, the paraphernalia, and other items.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Through the Co-Chair, I'm curious as to perhaps the size of the homeless encampment, if you're able to comment on that, because recently the municipality of Anchorage has had multiple press releases and other communications touting the fact that we do not have any large homeless camps in the municipality anymore. So I'm curious maybe to the size of the area that you're talking about, the encampment that you've been referencing.
Sure. Go ahead.
Ms. Collis.
Through the chair, just for the record, this is Christy Collis, Director for Mining Land and Water. We don't have someone to say what the exact size is right now. These homeless camps, we're regularly going in and cleaning them up, but the municipality wouldn't be the ones to come in and maybe clean this one up. So my assumption is they might be having it on their municipal lands. They have no large homeless camps, but this is a state-owned property, so I'm not sure if they would be counting this one. But we do have folks going in and cleaning it up on a regular basis. So to be honest, like right now, is it clean? I don't know exactly when our contractors go in and clean up the area, so it might not be as large as it's been in the past, or it could be cleaned up at this very moment.
Okay. Follow up. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Thank you for that. And I know the presentation isn't necessarily about a homeless encampment in Anchorage, but I'm just curious about it because very near the district boundary of my district, there was a triangular patch of land driving down into the Turnigan neighborhood where there was confusion as far as whether it was state land or municipal land, and I believe there was a joint effort to clean up that property, and there have not been, to my knowledge, a homeless encampment there for a number of months, if not even longer at this point. So I'm just kind of curious about, I guess, the jurisdictional issues and what is, considered a homeless camp in this scenario. Thank you.
Yeah. Through the chair, Representative Hall, DOT also sometimes, if it's within their right-of-way, they're also going to be working with the municipality. So it's not always just the state of Alaska DNR. It just depends on if it's in the right-of-way or if it's just land that's owned by DNR, managed by DNR.
Okay. It goes DOT, I think.
Okay, and I don't believe we have, we don't have DOT online, but we do have Natural Resources Manager, Division of Mining, Land, and Water, Hannah Urecook, Christopher Orman, who is Assistant Attorney General of Natural Resources Section, Department of Law, and Ryan Scott, who's the Director of Division of Wildlife Conservation, Alaska Department of Fish and Game, who could also maybe answer, if they can, some of these thoughts and comments. And that's a great question. I had a question, kind of a follow-up of hers. Who goes out? Have you been out there? Or how often do you know people go out and visit this section of land in Anchorage that's state land?
Through the chair.
Ms.
Chair. Chair Dybert. So we have staff that do go out there, but we've actually been pulling back on the staff going out there just because it can be very dangerous. That's why we've hired a contractor. The contractor is someone that goes out there on a pretty regular basis. Summer, of course, is a time when we see a lot more of this because it's harder in the winter, of course, to resurrect a camping area. But they do go out there very regularly. That's why I think our bill is going up, is just based off of the frequency and then just the amount of drug paraphernalia and things that are also unsafe.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Through the chair, for the record, Jim Walker, Alaska Department of Natural Resources. The last big portion of this bill that we have yet to discuss is the creation of a mechanism for recognizing commercial development parks within the state of Alaska. This is a tool that has been used by all 49 other states. And what would be involved with this, pursuant to the legislation, is that generally lands that have been through the planning process identified for settlement, from that there would be identified lands that were particularly suitable for industry, business, and new employers to move in. In other words, we would take lands that, again, have been classified already for settlement purposes and identify lands that would be suitable and attractive to new businesses and new employers. Presently, if a a new employer comes to us and wants to purchase or lease land from them, we have to unfortunately tell them that there is a long and involved process that we are going to have to undertake before they can utilize that land. This would essentially move some of that process in advance. We would front load the process as we identify these commercial parks. There would still be a very thorough best interest finding and a very robust public process. But once we went through that and identified these commercial areas, it would facilitate our ability to be nimble and opportunistic and seize on opportunities for new businesses to come to Alaska. Sadly, as you look at rankings of the state of Alaska and its business friendliness, in many cases, Alaska ranks dead last. And there are many criteria that are considered in that. But one of the ways that we are hoping, and this bill provides, that we can help enhance our abilities to attract new businesses is through designation of these lands and coming up with an inventory of available state lands for such development. So when employers come to us, we can say, hey, we've got all of these for which a lot of the process has been done. What about one of these? And then move forward with the remaining process. The bill also would incentivize new businesses coming and using these lands by, instead of charging them full fair market value for the cost of it, that other economic factors such as their employment of the citizenry and other things were taken into consideration. Again, this is basic enabling statute for creation of these commercial development parks, meaning it has a provision indicating that regulations would be promulgated hereunder, so that a lot of these details could be worked out over time. The goal is we are trying to come up with new tools to attract new employers because we need a healthy, sustainable economy. And all of the things that we have been doing all along have not been particularly successful in drawing new business. This is a bold new idea that catches us up with all 49 other states who have something like this so that we come closer to having a level playing field. I'm not suggesting that this is going to be a panacea, a cure-all, and that we're going to have a Toyota manufacturing plant built here tomorrow. Far from it. But what I am suggesting is that it will remove one of the competitive disadvantages that we have to growing the Alaska economy. Seeing that my time is now up with the deadline, because I know that everyone has to get back, I'm happy to answer any questions, but thank the committee and Chair Dybert and Chair Freer for your time today to present on this important legislation.
Thank you so much, Mr. Walker, and that was great timing. Good job. And thank you for being flexible. I know floor went a little longer, and I just appreciate you giving your time and being flexible. We have a question from Representative Prox.
Yes, thank you. I actually have two.
Two questions.
Two questions. Through the chair, the specific, well, call it three. The designation process, this bill does not designate any particular plot of land for anything. Is that clear, or is that true?
Through the chair, Representative Prox, yes, that is correct. It does not designate any particular lands.
And before we go any further, sorry, I'd like to welcome Representative Fields, who arrived at 1:30, and can you put your name on the record? So for the recording. Thank you.
And for the record, this is Christy Collis.
Thank you.
And Representative Prox?
Yes, through the chair, when you do that designated process, there will be additional public hearings and et cetera, and you've got a big, huge budget to conduct that process. Is that true?
Through the chair, Representative Prox. Yes, we'll go through a process, a public process, when we do designate areas, a decision process that even is appealable at the end. We don't always hold public meetings, but we can hold public meetings if it's necessary in a community. But that's, yes, we would want to work with the folks in the area that we would be designating these parks, business parks.
Yeah, follow up.
And, yep, follow up.
Yep, thank you. Through the chair, specifically this parcel next to the Anchorage Business Park. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with that. About the time all this was occurring, I was working training people in one of these business park buildings, and there was it was a goose nesting area. It was great. Canada geese were walking around everywhere across C Street and et cetera. So that was kind of cool. And then the folks across C Street were filling the area in because that's before all this wetlands designation happened. But I would imagine that you're going to get some interest in turning that to a goose habitat. But the other one, whoops, surveys. Have you thought about if somebody comes into adverse possession, and this happened a lot in the interior, if somebody is on a property for 10 years with some document that indicates they can be there, then the property does transfer to them. Now, I don't know. Have you thought about the potential problems for that?
And I believe that's slide 3.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Slide 3. Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Walker?
Through the chair, Representative Prox. This bill specifically talks about the leasing of state lands,
right?
So if you have an adverse possession type situation and some private landowner is seeking to claim certain other lands by virtue of the legal doctrine of adverse possession, to get formal title to that, they would have to go through some type, to my understanding, quiet title proceedings to have their title confirmed through the doctrine of adverse possession. This bill doesn't specifically talk about those situations because what it envisions is the leasing of state land where the state has title to some third-party citizen or other.
Okay. Real quick.
Have you thought about it so that if you are somewhere close to somebody else's land, think very carefully about that. I've been through the drill.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. And I do have to wrap us up because we do have floor. We will be returning to floor here in a few minutes. But I just want to say thank you. And Representative Prox, if you want to ask some questions offline, or we can get more information to the committee members on your thoughts.
Offline. Thank you.
And thank you so much. I do appreciate your time introducing us to this bill today. That completes the agenda for House Resources Committee meeting today. Our next House Resources Committee will be Monday, March 16th at 1 p.m., where we will take up a CS from House Bill 321 from Representative Josephson and his staff, Joe Meehan. On Wednesday, we'll hear a presentation by Elena Sudduth from Interior Gas Utility on their company and working with Harvest Midstream on trucking natural gas to my home community of Fairbanks, which is the first ever commercial sale of North Slope gas to communities beyond the Arctic region. The time is 1:36 p.m., and this hearing from the House Resources Committee is now adjourned.